Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuts in on the right foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Welcome in. Let's kick it. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, 2 days out from the start of the World Cup. I mean, less than 48 hours at this point. I don't want to try to do math. I think it's 41 right now. I don't have a countdown clock in front of me. That's probably a good thing because I would have lost my mind by now. It's really starting to feel real at the moment where we're less than a week away before the first World Cup game in Atlanta. We are a couple days away from the first game played in the tournament in Mexico City. The U.S. men's national team plays on Friday in Los Angeles against Paraguay. There are so many storylines, so many things happening right now. And it's not just World Cup related either. You've got major clubs in Spain feuding on social media. And one of them, actually, I'm really impressed with their Twitter game. We'll talk about that in the 3-4-3. You've got coaches being hired in parts of the world. You've got chaos happening everywhere because welcome to the World Cup, especially this one. You've got controversy, and we'll talk about some of that in the 3-4-3 as well. I mean, just I don't think anybody's surprised that there have been lots of different storylines and things coming into this World Cup. I think any major global event today, and probably for, I don't want to say forever, I really hope not, but you're going to have controversy because it's just how things go these days, right? People take one side, people take the opposite side, and they yell at each other, and everybody else gets caught up in the yelling. And it's pretty annoying sometimes, especially in an event like this, where there are lots of great things happening alongside things that people have issues with, and I get it. But I think this tournament is going to rise above it because that's what this game does, right? Once we get into the games, once we're talking about the U.S. on Friday and what that starting lineup is going to be and what they have to do, once we see Mexico and South Africa on the field on Thursday, once we get games to talk about, everything starts to change. And that's typically how Olympics go. That's how the Club World Cup went. That's how the World Cup in 2022 went. That's how the World Cup in 2014 went. And I did a podcast with a good friend from Brazil earlier tonight. And I was kind of reminded of that because there were a lot of similarities with the run-up to that World Cup and a lot of talk about the politics of it, a lot of talk about the economy of it, a lot of talk about the prices of it. And that didn't go away in terms of these are still problems to solve. These are still things to solve that look as powerful as this game is. It can't fix all the world's problems. But it can give people joy and hope and excitement and something to distract themselves from at times and something to look forward to at times. And that's what is so great about what we're seeing right now. And I mean, I've got on my monitor over here to my right, I've got the Argentina-Iceland game being played at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. Lionel Messi is sitting on a bench right now. Well, actually, not technically right now. I guess there's a bench in the locker room. He is in the locker room at halftime. It's 1-0 Argentina. But you're seeing kids in the stands who are getting to see the greatest soccer player of this generation and one of the greatest, I would say the greatest, of all time in Auburn, Alabama, in an SEC football stadium. It's been wild to see the Argentine media, which I follow a good bit. I am a hardcore Argentina fan, as most of you know by now. It's how I fell in love with the game. And I do watch TEC, which is the equivalent of an ESPN in Argentina, quite a bit. And the buildup to this game has been surreal for me. Because you got to remember, as much as I'm a fan of the Argentine national team and Argentine soccer in general, I grew up on SEC football. So this is a weird collision of worlds happening right now. The reaction from Argentine media about the eagle flying around the stadium before kickoff was something. The reaction that they gave just to the stadium itself, because you don't have college sports anywhere else in the world like we have here. You don't have stadiums like Jordan-Hare or any major college football stadium in smaller towns, Sanford Stadium being one. You don't have those in other parts of the world. Stadiums like those are in the capital cities, and they are the biggest in the country. We have a whole lot of them, and in some really weird places when you think about it. We take some of that for granted. And what's cool is this weird cultural collision that we're getting with Argentines in Toomer's Corner playing cumbia music and dancing. There's accordions and there's mate and there's probably Fernet and Coke, and everybody's having a good time. It's really cool. I'm sorry there's not a lot of Iceland fans in Auburn, Alabama. Iceland did not qualify for the World Cup, so I don't think the Icelandic fans really came out in big numbers. There's probably a few, but not many. There's a lot of Auburn fans and a lot of Messi fans, and then a lot of soccer fans. And it's very, very cool to see. That's what's so special about a summer like this. Argentina, the defending champs, they're up 1-0 at halftime. You take a look at how this one is going, and Lionel Scaloni was pretty clear coming into it that this is a little bit of getting ready. Of course, you want to get guys minutes and you want to build fitness and build sharpness. But where his team is right now, they're a veteran team. They're also dealing with a lot of injuries. He's got to be careful. So he's playing his core group less than some other teams who are preparing for the tournament. Less than the U.S. played, for example, on Saturday, where your starters, I think for the most part, there might be a couple of changes to the group that started the game against Germany, but they played 60 minutes. For Argentina tonight, Valentin Barco, who came up through Boca Juniors, moved to Europe. It's been kind of a slow process for him in Europe. He gets the goal for them in the 8th minute. You've got Nicolas Otamendi wearing the captain's armband. He's paired up with Lisandro Martinez. Very good center back pairing. Dibu Martinez, the goalkeeper, is not playing. He is still recovering from broken fingers. And yes, if you're a goalkeeper and you have broken fingers, that is a little difficult to deal with. He is dealing, and he says he's going to be ready for game one. We'll see. Giovanni Lo Celso is in the midfield. Ezequiel Palacios is in the midfield. Nico Paz got the start, and that's actually a big bit of news for Argentina, because Nico Paz was one of the players that there was a lot of concern with injury-wise. And to the point that I'd say a week ago, people thought he was going to be replaced on the roster. They did not rush to do that. He gets the start. He plays 45 minutes tonight. That is a great sign, because Nico Paz comes in after a great season with Como in Serie A in Italy, to the point that Real Madrid might be bringing him back. Our old friend Thiago Almada is on the bench for Argentina. He is one of the players that there's a lot of questions about in the Argentine media as to what his role is going to be in this team. You know, Argentina, when you're at full strength, you will have Lionel Messi in the starting lineup. You will have Julian Alvarez in the starting lineup. You will have Lautaro Martinez in the starting lineup. All of them are on the bench. They will be in your attack. Lionel Scaloni is not a guy who's really all that hung up on formation. I know that upsets some people, but he really doesn't care. He's going to mix and match the pieces based on who's playing well and what the opponent does and what he wants to do that day. Julian Alvarez is a prime example of that. He can play as a 9, he can play as a winger, he can play as a 10. Lautaro Martinez is a 9. Lionel Messi doesn't have a position. He doesn't need one. He is on the field, and he is who you want to have the ball in the most dangerous areas. However he gets there, he gets there. And he usually does. If that's a 10, if that's a winger cutting in, if that's a 9, whatever it is, you don't care. Again, this is why formation doesn't matter when it comes to Argentina. You got to have structure behind that, and they will. I'm curious to see what the midfield pairings will be. Is it Rodrigo De Paul and Enzo Fernandez in the midfield? Does Ezequiel Palacios push his way into that? Does Lo Celso push his way into that? Where could Thiago Almada factor in? I could see him playing on the wing, cutting inside. We didn't really see that here in Atlanta during his time. He most often played as a 10. Before he came here with Vélez, and when he was first breaking into the Argentine national team, they would use him in that kind of spot where he would be essentially a 10 out wide. He didn't play the position like a old school winger running up and down and putting in crosses. Kind of like we see right now with Alexi Maranchuk with Atlanta United, where yes, he starts on the wing, but he comes inside and he comes into the positions that you would want a 10 to play. And you play through him. When in Alexi's case, you need to play through him more, but you play through him because he is a playmaker. Almada could be that. I think Almada can play alongside a Messi. I think he could play out wide from Lionel Messi. I think you've got a lot of flexibility with that. The question is, can he earn the spot? I think he's going to get a start here in this tournament, and I think he's going to get a start early in the group stage. And if he can make the most of it, we might be seeing a lot of Thiago Almada. It could be the breakout tournament for him. But this is a group that's a little bit older, so I'm really intrigued to see, one, can they come out of tonight with no injuries? Two, can Lionel Messi get a little bit of time on the field in the second half? We'll find out together. The second half's about to kick off. And three, just can they do what they did 4 years ago? And when we talk about the tournament, you got to think back to what Argentina did 4 years ago. They lost game one to Saudi Arabia in a shocking upset. They were on the verge of going out in game two against Mexico until Lionel Messi scored a great goal. And then they went on to win the whole thing. And they had to go through two penalty shootouts to do that, first in a quarterfinal and then in the final. But they did. That's how topsy-turvy these things can go. It's going to be a fun summer with a lot of different storylines to get into. A couple of other things before we get to the break. Iraq and Venezuela also playing tonight. Venezuela leading that one at halftime 1-0. That is very bad for Iraq, who is in a tough group and looks like they're going to struggle this summer at the World Cup. Saudi Arabia and Senegal, they just went final a little while ago. Scoreless, Nicholas Jackson's red card for Senegal is the headline. Silly foul in the final minutes. He shouldn't miss time in the World Cup. FIFA should rescind any suspensions they have for multiple players already. Any red cards and friendlies, it should be rescinded. Saudi Arabia's goalkeeper was very good in the first half. Senegal's goalkeeper was very good in the second half. Pretty even game. A little bit disappointing for Senegal, really impressive for Saudi Arabia in terms of their result. What's on tap? Brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of World Cup 26. Two big games tomorrow, the last day of friendlies before this tournament gets started. England and Costa Rica, Portugal playing Nigeria. England is fourth in the overall FIFA rankings. Portugal is fifth. England. Thomas Tuchel is managing expectations, and I think he's trying to play the no, we're not favorites card. A lot of coaches like to do this, even coaches in the SEC, and Thomas Tuchel is absolutely leaning into that. I think they're among the four favorites, but I think they are the clear fourth of that group. This is their last game tomorrow before they play Croatia. They labored to a 1-0 win over New Zealand in their last warm-up. They have not scored more than one goal in any match so far in 2026. Each of England's last 12 victories have come with a clean sheet. They haven't been putting up a lot of goals, even with Harry Kane up front. Still a lot of controversy back in England about Cole Palmer, Phil Foden, Morgan Gibbs-White, Harry Maguire from a defensive standpoint, all out of the team. But you get Declan Rice, you get Eberechi Eze, you get Bukayo Saka, you get Noni Madueke. They are now in. Can they elevate this group with more time on the field? They need to, because England has not been impressive in the run-up to this. Portugal has been generally. This is a good Portugal team. Roberto Martinez is going to rotate the squad tomorrow as they face Nigeria. Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the players going into the last dance this summer. Keep an eye on Portugal. I'm curious to see that result. I think they're good. I think they're just outside of the top favorites. But again, if you come in with momentum, that could change. All right, coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, the U.S. Women's National Team is in action tonight in Brazil. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Auburn with Argentina. All kinds of little news and nuggets to get into. It's coming up after the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Into the back of the net! Goal!
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight
with Jason Longshore.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. So much happening right now. The U.S. Women's National Team up 1-0 in Brazil. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Argentina made a whole host of substitutions. And yes, Lionel Messi is warming up. And everybody in Auburn, Alabama in the stadium, which is absolutely full, by the way, is watching Lionel Messi warm up as much as they're watching anything else. The other big crazy takeaway with this Argentina game that was really funny to watch play out in real time, it was a torrential downpour about 3-4 hours before kick, to the point that the field looked flooded and everybody was worried that the game wouldn't happen. And one, people in Argentina in the media don't know the quality of SEC football stadiums and the drainage of them, and they don't know agricultural schools and that quality of the surface either, because the field drained really, really well. They had squeegees out for one, but then they had all kinds of other machines that I actually have never seen in terms of getting the field ready. It worked. The field has been completely fine. Haven't really seen any issues with it. Argentina leading 1-0 in the 52nd minute. Iraq losing 2-0 to Venezuela now. And Venezuela, remember, nearly got into the Interconfederation playoff, but blew it on the last two match days. They have nothing to play for right now. I'm surprised that they kind of showed up and fought. Bolivia did not. They lost out in that interconfederational playoff on a World Cup spot. They got blown out by Scotland over the weekend. I don't know if Venezuela is just like, well, this is our World Cup, let's go, or Iraq is just going to struggle that much this summer. I got a feeling it's more of the latter than the former. All right, the U.S. Women's National Team, I wanted to talk a little bit about this in two fronts. One, they're 1-0 up in the 84th minute in Brazil. And this is something that doesn't happen very often for the U.S. Women's National Team. They're preparing for a World Cup that will be in Brazil next summer. And they don't get out of their comfort zone very often. And it's just a little bit of the nature of the women's game in the United States. It's a little bit of the nature of the game around the world. A lot of teams want to come play in the U.S. The U.S. really doesn't have to travel if they don't want to. And they often don't, because they can make a good bit of money playing games at home against anybody. And we've seen a lot of those games over the years that have been 2-goal wins, 3-goal wins, and it's pretty comfortable and you don't really get a whole lot out of it except for a good gate revenue and some minutes on the field for players. Emma Hayes went in a different direction for this, and I love that she did, because she absolutely didn't have to do this. She said on Sunday, after they lost over the weekend 2-1, she said, being in Brazil is a choice, and I'm grateful that we've got the opportunity to do it again in a bigger setting. It's a huge crowd that they're playing in front of. The U.S. very rarely plays in front of hostile crowds on the women's side. Just a big, big deal that they're doing this, and it's a big deal that Brazil is getting this excited about it. I have not seen what the attendance is. They were expecting it to be between 40 and 50,000 in Fortaleza tonight. What this trip is a way to push this national team group, which you got to remember, they won the Olympics in 2024. They did lose in the round of 16 in the World Cup in 2023. That's what led to Emma Hayes coming into this program. She has wanted to remake it without losing what is great about it. It's needed to modernize. The rest of the world has changed the way that they treat the women's game. Not everywhere, and in some places faster than others. But the rest of the world has started to really invest in women's soccer. The U.S. had a huge head start in large part, and still they have a huge advantage because of the college soccer model. Because on the women's side, that bridges the gap with the professional game. You have amazing facilities, amazing resources to play college soccer and do really well with it, and then go play pro. On the men's game, you go pro earlier. But the women's game, in a lot of countries, you don't have the options for those 18 to 22-year-old players that you do in NCAA soccer here. So that's huge. But the rest of the world is starting to invest and catch up. So the U.S. has to continue to grow. And I think they have to grow in a couple different ways. You need players that are a little more battle-tested, are a little more, I think, adaptable. Because in the past, the U.S. could out-talent people and out-athlete people. Because you had better athletes and you had better soccer players because they had the opportunity to train more. Those days are gone. And it's something that Emma Hayes talked about that was really interesting. And I'd love to dig into this. And I'd love to actually like have the conversation with her about it because I thought it was fascinating. She said that right now in the NWSL, players play 4 midweek games over a season. Now, this season might be a little bit different with the Men's World Cup break, but in general, they play about 4 midweek games. Whereas in the rest of this hemisphere, for example, Liga MX Femenil teams, they play 11. So they play more games. They play more games on short rest. They have to adapt more. NWSL players typically haven't had to because of the advantages that the U.S. women's program has had. You need players that can handle those moments where they have to adapt. You need players who can handle when they're physically tired and they have to figure it out and still perform. You need players who can go into a hostile environment and deal with it and not crumble. Because here's the thing. Next summer, whether the U.S. is playing Brazil or not, they're going to have to be tough to handle it because I don't think anybody in Brazil is going to be rooting for the U.S. Not at all. And that's something they're going to have to get over and deal with. And yeah, they're going to play in stadiums that are going to be a little hostile. They're going to play on pitches that maybe aren't perfect. They're going to play in heat, humidity, those kinds of conditions that are going to be difficult. And they're going to have to overcome that against teams like Spain, who has qualified for the Women's World Cup now, like probably England, who is the defending European champions, like Brazil, who is very good and beat the U.S. over the weekend. They have not been able to repeat that tonight. The U.S. has been the better team by far, outshooting Brazil 13-5. It's in the 89th minute. It's still 1-0. The goal was an own goal, though. Sophia Wilson helped create it. The U.S. women's program is not the best in the world without any question anymore. And that's a good thing, I think. It's a good thing for the game as a whole. It's a good thing for the development of this team because I think they're able to grow. I'm excited to see this growth. I think Emma Hayes has done an amazing job. I really like the way that she thinks about her job and thinks about coaching in a very holistic way and thinking about things that we don't normally do for female athletes and how female athletes have to deal with different things physically than male athletes do, how that affects recovery, how that affects training, how that affects preseason, how that affects everything, playing those midweek games, how that affects everything and how we have to change and learn and grow and adapt. I love what she's brought to the program. I love that this team has a little bit more edge to it now. There was one clip from the loss on Saturday that I just loved. I believe it was Lindsay Heaps got wrecked from behind by a Brazilian player, and Trinity Rodman went and got her receipt and had the biggest goofy grin on her face after getting that receipt. I loved it. This team needs to be, just like we've talked about with the U.S. men, they need to embrace being the bad guy a little bit. That's okay. Play with that edge. I like teams that have that. I think the U.S. has needed that. I think on both sides, on the men and the women, especially now with the women, where they're not able to just show up and roll out a lineup and win. They're going to have to go out and earn these wins in this World Cup. Qualifying for the Women's World Cup will come up much later. This game has gotten really contentious. It sounds like you've had a multiple red cards to bench personnel for Brazil. Emily Sonnet and Marta have been arguing for most of the match. Brazil's manager got sent off. An assistant, I think, got sent off. Maybe a third assistant got sent off. There's a lot. This is awesome. And this is a friendly, by the way, but this is awesome that we're getting this kind of intensity. And yeah, I have no problem with Brazil being like this. I think it's funny when we talk about Brazilian soccer, and this can cross over to the men's side in the summer's World Cup as well. We always think of Joga Bonito, right? We think of the famous airport commercial that Nike did. We think of the flicks and the tricks and Ronaldinho being able to perform magic with the ball at his feet and Neymar doing the same and Pelé. And Pelé is a fine example of this. If you go back and watch the Brazil-Uruguay match from 1970, Pelé throws one of the nastiest elbows that you've ever seen to an Uruguayan player, and he got away with it. While Brazil is a country that I think really enjoys beautiful soccer, it is also a domestic league and also a country that doesn't mind some nastiness and some physical and some cheap shots and some hard fouls and all of those things. That's part of the Brazilian game as well. And I kind of love that that's part of the Brazilian game on the women's side, because we've always had this thing about the women not being able to show those personalities and be nasty and go in hard on players and get receipts like Trinity Rodman did and get angry on the field. Absolutely they should. That should be embraced. I enjoy that passion. I enjoy that fire. So yes, it should be the same for both. And I think seeing this with this Brazilian team who badly wants to beat the U.S. to the point that the whole coaching staff might have been sent off. Okay, cool. Hope they get drawn in the World Cup next year, because that will be an absolute must watch if you get Brazil and the U.S. women in the Women's World Cup next year. You might get a brawl in Auburn, Alabama right now, and Iceland players are going in late on Argentines, and the whole Argentine squad is going after an Iceland player, Johansson, who I want to see the foul again, but it looked like it was pretty bad from behind. It's just going to be a yellow card. But the whole Argentine group of players on the field swarmed him. I shoved him in the back. It's kind of cheap. Shoved Alexis McAllister in the back. McAllister grabbed his leg. I don't think he got him in the leg, but Thiago Almada was ready to go. Lautaro Martinez was ready to go. Rodrigo De Paul was ready to go. Cool. It's starting to get real. We saw this with the U.S. against Germany on the weekend when Tim Weah goes in with a good tackle. German players wanted to start something with him. U.S. players backed up their teammate. I like to see that in a team before a tournament like this. I like to see those moments. It's very, very cool to see. Argentina's up 1-0, 64th minute. We'll continue the conversation tonight over on Stoppage Time on the 92.9 The Game YouTube page. That will continue after the radio show signs off. That'll start back up right around 11 o'clock. Lionel Messi getting ready to check in Auburn, Alabama. It's going to be one of the loudest roars there since Cam Newton and Bo Jackson were on that field. We'll talk about all of it on the other side of the break. 343 coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And now we end the night with a bit of structure.
Shot. Goal! Goal!
Let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. And Lionel Messi is on the field in Auburn, Alabama. And Argentina has just won a penalty, it appears. And number 10 might be stepping up to take it. He comes onto the field, and I think it's his first touch is a ridiculous turn and through ball to Lautaro Martinez. I think that was his first touch. And yes, he is going to take the penalty. So Jordan Air Stadium is about to erupt if he can put this away past Iceland. I mean, he hasn't been on the field for more than 60 seconds. Whew, chaos. This is what the summer is going to be like, y'all. It's been one of those shows. It has flown by, but we are into the 3-4-3. This is the last segment on radio tonight. We will continue on YouTube. So if you're listening live on the radio, on the Odyssey app, pull up YouTube. We will be there for you. We are going to open some Panini sticker packs. I got Madison Cruz and Sophia Cupertino joining in as well. They'll be with me. And Lionel Messi has scored a goal at Jordan Air Stadium. I never thought I would ever say anything like that. That feels like a fever dream, but it has happened in the lead up to this World Cup. If Argentina wins this World Cup, people are going to get mascots of the Auburn or tattoos of the Auburn mascot. Like, they're going to get tattoos of the war eagle on their calves. Like, they're so superstitious, they're going to think that Auburn brought them good luck if they go on to win this World Cup. It's just buckle up. Just buckle up for all the chaos this summer. All right, the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. The three in the first three tonight, we're going to talk about three of the things to keep in mind that are going to be different from a referee perspective this summer. Number one, I've said this a couple times. I want to reiterate it again. I think it's so important to be specific on this. The idea that talking on the field, covering your mouth is an automatic red card is incorrect. It is when you are in a confrontation with an opponent, if you cover your mouth when talking to them, you will get an automatic red card. That is very clear. That is new, and that will be the case this summer. Number two on things to keep in mind from a referee perspective, the throw-in and goal kick timer. So right now, we've added the rule that goalkeepers can't hold the ball in their hands for more than 8 seconds, and the referee starts counting it with their hand up for everybody to see. Well, now they will do the same thing on throw-ins and on goal kicks, and they'll count from five when they get to that point. They're not going to count to five every single time. They're going to try, and I think especially with the heat that you're going to be dealing with at times, and the referees are going to want to catch their breath as well. They're running around the same way. They're going to give people a reasonable amount of time to get the throw-in in. But when it's obvious they're time-wasting, then you can use it as a tool to start, hey, let's go. If you don't throw a ball in before the referee stops their count, when they've started to count you down, then the throw-in goes to the other team. If you do that on a goal kick, then it'll turn into a corner kick for the other team. I love that rule. I love that from a time-wasting perspective. And number three, VAR can be used for a few more things. It can be used to clean up mistaken identity. We've talked about that. It can be used to not give an automatic red card on a second yellow where the second yellow is not warranted. Basically, that becomes reviewable now. I'm very good with that because it's a red card situation. You don't want those to happen unless they need to be a total red card. You don't want it to be an oopsie red card in a World Cup game. And the one that I'm very curious to see how they implement it, basically fouls that happen before the ball is kicked on a set piece or on a corner, VAR can go back and review that and overturn the goal. That one concerns me a little bit. I want to see how it's implemented. I don't hate the idea. I want to see that actually be stronger, and I'd be fine with changing the laws of the game to where if the attacking team on a corner or a set piece commits a foul before the ball is in play, which right now technically can't be a foul, you don't lose possession, make them lose possession. That would be one way to eliminate some of the holding and pulling and picks and screens that are happening right now that aren't completely legal. Tomorrow night on the show, I didn't get a chance to get these clipped for tonight because our conversation went very long. It was a great interview with Matthew Conger, one of the very few referees in World Cup history who refereed in two different World Cups, in 2018 in Russia and in 2022 in Qatar. And he is someone who spent a lot of time in Athens, Georgia before a move to Denmark and then to New Zealand. Pretty fascinating life journey. But Matthew Conger, I talked to him. You'll be able to hear the whole interview over on Soccer Down Here, and you will hear from Matthew Conger tomorrow some of his thoughts on what we're going to see this summer. All right, four headlines from around the world. Number one, let's go to Spain and Portugal. Benfica, they have parted ways with Jose Mourinho, who is on his way back to Real Madrid. Benfica have confirmed that Real Madrid have triggered his release clause for 15 million euro. Florentino Perez, he had promised to bring Mourinho back to the Santiago Bernabeu if he won re-election as Real Madrid president. He won that on Sunday into Monday. It was officially secured on Monday. He survived the first genuine presidential vote in 20 years. Mourinho was at Madrid from 2010 to 2013. He had some good. He had some bad. He stuck his finger in Tito Villanova's eye, the assistant coach at that time of Barcelona. He had a couple of incredible seasons with Real Madrid. He also was a very different kind of manager from Real Madrid. And I think now you're seeing Florentino Perez kind of lean into the villain role a little bit more than the gentleman role, which is what Real Madrid was really known for before they hired Mourinho. I've thought that Mourinho was kind of past it. I did not think he would get this opportunity at a major club again. He has. Things have fallen his way. I am very much intrigued to see how things look in La Liga. From the Benfica side of things, they will be hiring Marco Silva, who left Fulham last week after 5 years in the Premier League. All right, number two, let's stay with Real Madrid, but let's go to their crosstown rivals, Atleti. Atleti has really ramped up their social media game these days. They popped off, I think it was last week, about offers or reported offers or things being said in the press about Barcelona chasing Julian Alvarez. They had some really funny tweets about it. A lot of memes. Well, Real Madrid issued a statement today. And this is kind of weird. It goes back to Florentino Perez again. He promised in one of his election promises that they would spend 150 million euro. Well, he said he would table a 150 million euro offer for a player this week, immediately after winning the election. Well, sounds like he did. Julian Alvarez at Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid issued a statement saying that they made the offer and that it was declined, and Atleti said his release clause is more than that, and that was it. And Atleti did a quote tweet with, I think, about six laughing emojis, and then had a lot of things to say. They said Real Madrid had confused education with gratitude, that they neither studied nor considered any offer for Julian Alvarez. The release clause is 500 million euros in his current contract, and Atleti would demand that it's met in full. And then they also took some shots at Barcelona, too. Atleti are becoming the meme lords of La Liga, and I'm kind of here for it. It's entertaining. All right, number three on the headlines in the 3-4-3, England's Lionesses. They beat Ukraine 3-0 today, but the result was irrelevant because Spain won their match in this qualifying group for the Women's World Cup, 6-1 over Iceland. Spain topped the group, and they are into the Women's World Cup next year, while England has to go to the playoffs, even though they won 5 of 6 games. That loss was to Spain. Spain had a better goal differential. They go through. I think England will be fine. They can't afford to slip up in the playoffs now, but they should be just fine. Number four, and this is not a great story coming into the World Cup. Omar Artan, he was set to become the first Somalian referee at the World Cup finals. He has been dropped from the list of officials. He was denied entry into the United States. He's the 2025 Confederation of African Football Men's Referee of the Year. He was barred from entering the country at the Miami International Airport. He is currently in Turkey. No reason has been given. There have been some insinuations that there is a very good reason, but we don't know the reason. FIFA said that he will miss the tournament. FIFA confirmed that he will be unable to train and officiate. He was denied entry into the United States. FIFA is not involved in the host country immigration processes, including visa adjudications, and has been informed by authorities that Mr. Artan's status will not be changed at present. I don't know all the details here, and nobody does. And I do think that they're going to be needed, or there's going to be a lot of questions, and this is going to look very bad. There have been a lot of other insinuations about things. And look, this is when things are unclear. It's easy to make insinuations and things start to get traction. There have been pictures and videos of teams going through security checks. And there's been a lot of things said about that, which are frankly not true, because they're going through the same security checks that we go through on charter flights with Atlanta United 20 times a year. So there are some things that are different about security checks in the United States. There are some things that are not good about people not being able to get into this country to come see this World Cup. There are lots of complicated things in all of this right now that are beyond the power of sport. This is one that, with a referee who had been cleared by FIFA and was known who was going to be on this list and was going to be in this tournament, to be denied entry into the United States, there really needs to be a pretty strong reason for that. And it probably needs to be public. And I hope that it does, so this can be dealt with one way or another, because this is one of those things that is right now a lot of whispers, a lot of conversation. I think it's a black eye for the country internationally right now. And if there's a valid reason, then we're having a different conversation. But we need to be able to have the conversation. So let's see where all of this goes. There will be plenty said about it. Trust me. All right. That did not make me smile at all, but let's go to three things that have made me smile over the last couple of days. One of them is happening in Auburn, Alabama, because this is just insane to watch Lionel Messi on the field, and he's got a free kick right now inside his range. It's probably on the edge of it, but he could put this home. Three things that have made me smile. Number one, watching Atlanta United homegrowns with the US U19s today down in Fayetteville in a 5-2 win over Japan. Cooper Sanchez played, Dominic Chongqui played, Braden Dunham, who is not a homegrown yet, but is a star at Furman University, the only college player in, basically playing 5 minutes from his house, which is really cool. The Peachtree City resident. Very cool for Braden Dunham. He played really well today. And Javon Mussenden, who plays for the New England Revolution Academy, who grew up in Dallas, Georgia, and played for GSA. Really cool to talk to all those guys afterwards. We'll have some content over on Soccer Down here from that. Number two, the city of Atlanta. We've talked about all the development. We've talked about all the things going on around the city. 21 murals have been created to welcome the World Cup. 17 commissioned by the Atlanta Mayor's Office for Cultural Affairs, 4 more by Downtown Atlanta, Inc. Awesome work by those entities, but awesome work by the artists as well. And these are all over the city. Just so cool to see this very Atlanta thing be used to welcome the international visitors for the World Cup. And number three, just the fact that the World Cup campus is starting to come together. You've got Centennial Olympic Park less than a mile from the stadium. You've got South Downtown less than a mile from the stadium. You've got Centennial Yards steps from the stadium. You're going to have people congregating in all those areas on game days and on non-game days here in Atlanta, because they're going to be watching the World Cup games all over. Just amazing. And we're only about a day and a half away from it. I'll be back with you tomorrow night, 10 o'clock on the radio. But for the rest of this show, if you want to join us, come over to YouTube. Check for 92.9 The Game on YouTube. We will be there. Make sure you're subscribed to the Off the Woodwork podcast. Plenty more soccer talk before we get to a World Cup final on July 19th. Thank you for being part of it. For the radio audience, adios, everybody.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week. Hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh! Goal!
to our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
All right, let's bring it back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Stoppage time portion of the show. Allegedly, Madison Cruz and Sophia Cupertino are going to join in, and we're going to talk some stickers and open some packs and see who's lucky and not lucky. We're going to take some questions as well. And one of the things that's been in the chat during the show, the conversation about the U.S.-Germany game, 130, not a big fan of the U.S. performance in that. I talked about it earlier in the week. I don't like the set-piece goal being given up early, 100%. I think that was very frustrating and something that you just can't have happen in World Cup matches. And Miles Robinson, unfortunately, makes a big mistake there. Iceland just made a big mistake. And Thiago Almada just scores for Argentina in Auburn. Lionel Messi and Thiago Almada scoring goals at Jordanaire Stadium. I'm trying to say it properly. They say it differently in Auburn, and it's not what it looks like. Thiago Almada, goal number 3-0, Argentina. No, I thought the U.S. played well. I thought the starters played well. Playing well is nice, but you're going to have to win these games when you get to it counting now. That's just the next step. But I did not feel bad about the team after the game. I felt good about the team. Patrick was kind of with me. Fender was there as well. I do think they win the group, but I don't think they win it with three wins. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. Let's see what else we got going on here. I agree with you. They can't give up early goals in the World Cup. Totally agree with you on that. Yeah, there's a lot, and Jill chiming in as well. Almada does have a sticker. I'm almost certain Ropes, but I don't have that one yet. I haven't gotten a Thiago Almada sticker yet. Just in general, and look, this isn't the place. This show is not the place, in my opinion, to get bogged down with some of the things that, look, we just frankly can't control. I think it was pretty obvious with the political climate in general that there were going to be things during this tournament that would upset people. And yeah, there's things that have upset me, and I think it's actually hurt the overall, not just the tournament, not just the game, not just the sport, not that stuff, but it's hurt people that it wasn't like, it's not helping anybody. Like some of the battles and things and the silly things are just, it's a black eye for the country and there's no benefit. So it's this stuff. And that's why, okay, if there's a reason to deny entry for the Somalian referee, then probably needs to be public instead of insinuations. Because if you have a valid reason, then okay, totally fine. If you don't, then what are we doing and why? Because there's no benefit. So just that's where I'm at with it. In spite of all that, and it was a really good conversation I had earlier with Gustavo Tomaselli, who lived in Atlanta, lived actually in Tennessee, but covered Atlanta United a lot in 2017. He is living in Brazil now, and I make semi-regular appearances on his sports podcast. And we were talking today about the, you know, you could think back to 2014 in Brazil. A lot of talk about the politics coming into that tournament. A lot of talk about the economy of Brazil at that time. And they're all valid conversations to have. Not saying don't have them. But they didn't overshadow the tournament once the games got started. They did not overshadow it. That was a great soccer. That's just a great World Cup. It's one of my favorites, honestly. Qatar, same thing. You know, we can talk about, oh, Messi almost had another goal, but it was blocked. We can talk about how Qatar got the World Cup, how Russia got the World Cup. We can talk about all that. Again, valid conversations. The actual soccer, in my opinion, overcame it, which I love in both of those cases. Yeah, I don't think it will end up being a buzzkill, Jill. I really don't. I think it will be the ultimate soccer party in spite of it. And in some ways, the party aspect and all of the good things that come out of it are even more amplified because of some of the climate. And it just shows what this game's all about. What we're seeing in Auburn is part of this. It's crazy that, I mean, when they show some of the close-ups on the sideline and you've got probably big money boosters who you've got these big money boosters at Auburn football who are like watching on the side Lionel Messi in Argentina running around on the field. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, let's see what we got going on with our Panini World Cup sticker trio. Sophia Cupertino joins the show. Madison Cruz joins the show.
Hello.
What's up?
What's up, everybody?
How are you?
Thiago
guys?
Almada scored a goal tonight.
Really?
Leo Messi scored a goal. Big things in Auburn, Alabama.
That's awesome.
Messi almost set up another one.
I swear on my life, I don't think I've ever in my life could have said, oh, hey, Messi's going to be playing in an SCC stadium, let alone Auburn. Let's just say that. Wild.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy. But that's what's so cool about it. That's what I was just saying. I think, yeah, and we'll be talking about it, unfortunately, because it's part of the conversation with this tournament. But I do think once the games start, conversations are going to shift. And I think the game and the people around the world that make this game so special and all the things about World Cups where, you know, we're going to be in different places on Thursday, for example. You know, I think Sophia and I are planning on being at the Brewhouse Cafe in Little Five Points. Madison, you're going to be up at the Mill at Etowah for Mexico and South Africa. And you're going to get a crowd of people from all over the world to watch the start of this tournament that we've all looked forward to. And you're going to have conversations with people at both of those places among who knows how many other events going on around the city on Thursday of people coming together in love of this sport. That's going to trump everything. And yeah. I did not mean to use that word, but I'll take it.
You know what? It's going to overpower everything, maybe.
There you go. I use the word too much, and sometimes it doesn't. Actually, sometimes it works perfectly. Anyway, it's last minute of Argentina and Iceland. I don't know if we had an update from the final over in Iraq and Venezuela. We do have a little bit of an update. I don't know if you guys were seeing this. The chaos that was U.S. Women's National Team in Brazil. 1-0 win for the U.S. I think, and I don't know if SofaScore is going to actually have all of it proper. I think there were 1, 2, 3, 4, and probably a couple more staff members sent off for Brazil.
I kept getting foot mob notifications like as I was like getting ready and I was like, what's going on? And I just see red guard, red guard, red guard. And I went,
yeah,
what's happening?
Bia Zanerato got a second yellow for dissent in the 94th. And then in the 99th, Tarcian got a violent conduct red card. And then in the 104th, Caroline and Ludmila got violent conduct red cards for Brazil. And their coach got sent off, and I think three of his assistants got sent off.
Oh, I'm madness. Seeing it. So 6 minutes ago, apparently what happened at the end of the game, Brazil started going after the refs like right afterwards. So that, I think, resulted in a couple of them. Yeah, basically that. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to Yeah, I'm looking to see like what else like caused it. But yeah, it yeah, that's wild. That's wild.
That's gotta break some kind of record, right?
You underestimate some places in the world. That I think there was a game in Argentina with a lower division team that I think out of the amount of people that could have been red carded on both full sets of rosters, even if you were on the field or not on the field, I think there were only like two people who didn't get sent off and the game got abandoned. So, yes, crazy things can happen. Yeah. Martha got a yellow card at the end. She was beefing with Emily Sonnet. Martha beefs with all kinds of people. But I said it on the show. Like, I like that now U.S. Brazil on the women's side is kind of nasty. Cool. Let's go. Rivalry is good.
Yeah. I like when a game gets scrappy.
Yep.
I think it shows a lot of like the passion and like I think like it's like it's always it's a conversation we had I think on the men's side what last like in the last year within the Paraguay USA match it was a lot of like oh well it's a friendly it's like it doesn't matter
it ain't
like,
friendly
it ain't friendly. It doesn't matter. You want to win. Like, I mean, and I like that you're seeing it now in the women's game. And I think in that one too, I think especially because you have so many big names like on both of those sides, it's fun. It's fun getting to watch a match like that. And it's awesome. It's cool.
I am a fan of it. Ropes asks why we don't have a live feed from John from Auburn. Do you think he could actually handle that, Ropes?
No, come on. Technology wise, I don't think it would have worked.
No, I'm not. One, I don't know if he could even get a cell signal out of Auburn with all the chaos that's going on there the Argentina takeover of Auburn, Alabama. But I'm not going to put him through that. What I am going to put you guys through, though, is opening some Panini sticker packs. Because I need to have better luck.
Oh, I do too.
What have I gotten lately? Because I'll open a few during the day.
I did get the hardcover one.
I have not gotten my album yet. I got back ordered, so now I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, now you're out of the club.
I know. I got to get an album so I can be part of the cool club.
I know.
I was sad last night when I pulled the Diego Luna sticker.
I pulled that one last night too, and I was like, oh.
That made me sad.
I will say, because of my OCD brain, this is what I had to do. When I opened a lot of them, I put them in order of like where like it starts from group A all the way to the end of the group.
I haven't done that, and I need to.
I separated mine by team. That's as far as I got.
I need to get my. I need to figure out what duplicates I have because I know I've got some.
Yeah, I have a. I have one. If anybody wants the U.S. FIFA, I have a duplicate of this.
I got that one. I'm good on that one. I got the mascots.
Oh, the mascots.
I was happy about that one.
That's cool.
I still have a lot of packs because I opened a lot of them yesterday.
I got a 50 box and I probably, what do I have left?
I also have a 50 box.
I got the 50 and I've got 6.
I will say though, my prize possession, I did put
it about 16.
Hold on. My prize possession, everyone. I do have Lionel Messi, so.
Yeah, I know, your first pack, I know.
You think it is, unfortunately. I think people will find this entertaining. I bought this huge collector's pack with 40 packs in it from Costco.
You got the Costco one that some people can't have not.
I did not pull a single United States player. I think I have every single other team except for the United States. I don't have a single U.S. player. So
the amount of Bosnia-Herzegovina players I have, I have a lot of them.
I feel like I've gotten a lot of Saudi Arabia players and a lot of... What was the other one I was getting? A decent bit of Uzbekistan, actually.
Really? I have a lot of Ghana. I think Ghana's my most.
I have a couple of good picks. I texted this to Sophia and I was going to save it for on air. I did in fact get Miguel Almiron.
I have not gotten an Almiron.
I did get the one that I was actually really wanting. I did get Alex Freeman. That was pretty cool.
Cool.
So I got Alex Freeman. I got a couple of USA guys. I got
Aronson and McKinney and Luna. Those are the three that I've got.
I have Wea, I have Haji Wright, McKinney, Mark McKenzie, Matt Fries, Diego Luna.
Just keep flexing, guys. It's okay. Yeah, I didn't even have U.S. players. It's fine.
Jeez. All right.
Okay. I also got Modric, too, which is sick. So
I have Luka, too.
I've got Luka. All right. I'll go first. Let's see what we get. I need to start putting them in the book, Ropes. The regular book is $4 at CVS. I will probably go get one because I don't know if I'm ever getting my other one.
I have both because I cave. So I have this one and then I also have hardcover.
And then you upgraded?
I upgraded. Yeah, I upgraded.
Oh, okay. I got Alisson, Brazilian goalkeeper. I got, and this is kind of cool, but he's not my favorite player, Cristiano.
I don't have any Portugal. I have no Portugal.
Okay. Now, this is the first time I've got something like this. I've gotten a lot of the blue variants.
Mm-hmm.
I got an orange variant of Thibaut Courtois.
Ooh. So what does the orange and blue mean?
They're variants. Like the blue, I think, are more rare than the white borders, but the blues seem very common. This is the first orange one I've gotten.
Okay.
The really like weird variants are... There's some like regular cards that have the shiny effect, and there's ones that have, I think they call them crumples. Those are super rare.
Pro.
There are some like all black ones that are like, I think, one of ones. And those are like worth a lot of money.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I got an orange Thibaut Courtois. I don't know how good that is. I got an Australia team. I got Sofiane Amrabat, who I really like from Morocco. And I got Ismael Diaz from Panama. So that's a pretty good pack with Cristiano Ronaldo and a orange Thibaut Courtois.
That's not bad. Not bad.
All right, who's next?
Maybe I'll go and see if I get a U.S. player.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, everyone's picked Diego Luna, but except for Pochettino. Thank you, Jill. That's mean, but yes.
Oh, wow. That's
crazy. Pochettino and me, apparently.
So. Yes. I've got Brazil 62 ropes. I haven't gotten Germany 74. That's cool. The champion cards.
Ooh, I think okay.
And I'm not a radio person, so I cannot pronounce the names like you guys can. okay. But I do have an Algeria.
Okay.
Ooh.
Some of those can be tricky.
Yep. I have a Ghana.
Some of those are easy and some aren't.
Jordan Ayew.
Jordan Ayew.
I tried.
That was, you weren't far off.
And here we go, Norway.
Oh, who'd you get from Norway?
Okay.
It is I'm going to embarrass myself. Holmgren Pedersen?
I think that's pretty close. I'd have to see it.
I try my best. This is why I stay behind the camera.
Norwegian is tricky. I would run through names with Ronnie Dyla. He helped me.
I have a Senegal.
Okay.
Nice.
Diouf.
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 Yes.
I have another Ghana.
Wow.
Bukhari.
Okay. You went hard into the African continent. On
I
this
have
one.
a lot of Africa. Oh, and here we go. Another Algeria.
Okay.
Nice.
Saka.
Oh, Bukayo Saka. I've got him. Very cool. Yeah.
That's my first Saka, so that's good.
Nice.
Love
here
it. All right.
Not it's a bad good. Pack. All right, Maddie.
No U.S. players.
Still no U.S. players.
We're still on the hunt. Okay, let's go here.
I still need Messi, so.
Me too.
Let's see here, guys.
And Thiago. I'd like to get an Almada sticker.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I will say, I am very tired. Who knows if I can get these names right? Let's see.
that's part of the test.
Garvin Metusala.
Okay.
Haiti. Solid. Sophia, I'm so sorry. I got Tyler Adams.
And a blue
I don't understand. I have not pulled a single one. I don't get
like
it.
Tyler Adams. I like Tyler Adams. That's a good one. That's good. That's good.
Yeah,
Konate, France. Did I say that?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's go. French is difficult because like
it can
French
be. Is, yeah.
Can be. There's a couple of ones that are a little bit. Yeah, I ain't getting this one. Norway though.
Norway's a tough one. I can't see who it is. It's a lot of letters. I can see that much.
It's a lot of letters. And so, yeah, but solid choice. I got a Japan Tanaka.
Okay, good call. I've gotten a lot of Japan players. I've gotten a lot of the Japan team.
Cool. Oh, wait. This is cool. I have the We Are Paraguay.
Okay. So you got the qualified Paraguay one. Okay.
And then I got Algeria.
Okay.
Awesome.
I think each team's got that. Then there's like the World Cup champion stickers. There's a few other like kind of different ones, like the mascots.
I think I have Brazil, the World Cup champion.
You got 62. You got the same one I did.
Yeah, I have that one. Sounds pretty
I have
cool.
a couple of the ones from the museum section, and they're all Italy. I think I had two Italy ones.
Oh, that's cool.
The museum section.
All right. I got the Iran team logo. I got Finn Sermon from New Zealand, plays for the Portland Timbers.
Okay.
I got another player who has not picked, Sebastian Allaire from Côte d'Ivoire.
Oh.
I got Colombia. We are Colombia. Hey. Cool. Okay. I got Mateo Kovacic. That's a good one from Croatia.
Nice.
I got the Canada team sticker. And I got Ronald Araujo from Uruguay, who needed stem cell treatments in Barcelona. He left the country to go to Barcelona to get stem cell treatments to come back and try to play in the World Cup.
Nice.
Wow.
I really like the emblem, like with the little like holographic.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I really
cool.
Like those are really cool. I like those really buy cool.
All right, can Sophia get a U.S. player?
That is the real question of the night.
I'm going to guess what U.S. player it's going to be. It's going to be
Pulisic. Malik Tillman.
All right, well, that was two different answers there. Sorry. Okay, so
Sophia's unhinged.
Sorry. Alderete?
That's pretty good.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't tell me my pronunciation is bad. That's
pretty good.
Busupov?
Not sure on that one. I'll trust you.
I have an Ivory Coast. Don't know how to pronounce his name.
It gets into the French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of French.
And you got France?
A France player.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Coman.
Yeah, yeah. Kingsley Coman. That's a good one.
You
had the pronunciation right. That was good.
Diomande from
Ivory
Coast.
Nice. Yep. Jan Diomande. He actually, I'll give you a funny story about him. I saw him play at Peachtree City MOBA when he was 16 years old, playing for a random UPSL team out of Orlando. And I immediately at halftime was texting Atlanta United people like, hey, come get this kid now.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was that, do you think?
It was like 3 or 4 years ago, because I think he's just turned 20. Now he's probably going to go to Liverpool for $100 million.
Wow.
That's awesome. So is he from Georgia? No,
he's from Ivory Coast, but he ended up at like an academy school in Orlando. I don't know how he ended up in the States, but at like an IMG academy. So he was there and he played for this UPSL team called AS Frenzy, and they won the national championship, and that was a quarter final, and he was just incredible in that game.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. November 14th, 2006. Yeah.
Nice.
Perisic?
Yep,
from
Croatia.
Yeah.
Abu Hashish from Jordan?
I don't know that one. You've been pretty good with your pronunciations, though.
Yeah, you've been pretty good.
I really try my best. So that was that pack. Still no U.S.
Still no U.S.
It's coming. All right.
Maddie.
Let's see here.
Yeah, your pronunciations are fine. Like I talked about this last night. Like nobody can be expected to get every pronunciation right, like on the fly. It's really hard. The people who can do it really quick impress me. It's just try to get it right, and then when somebody tells you what it is, like actually do it as they tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Don't then choose to be like, no, I'm going to pronounce it my way. Your name is not that. Your name is what I say it is. That's what.
This one kind of tripped me up. I'm going to see if I get it right, though. I really like him as a player, though.
Uh-huh.
Tchouaméni?
Tchouaméni,
thank you.
Yeah, Aurelien Tchouaméni.
Yeah, I really like that, though. That's sick.
I like him as a player, except when he allegedly punches Federico Valverde in the locker room at Real Madrid, and then he has a traumatic brain injury.
That's why I was like, wait, I recognize that name.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, see, for many different reasons. this is a historic card, some might say. So we got that. That's great. Shut up. This is great. I like this. I got Doku.
Very nice.
I'm going to her house. I'm taking her packs and
seriously.
I'm gonna open up her packs.
They're mine. Nico Williams.
Oh, is it a blue one?
It's a blue one.
Okay.
Very nice.
I don't think the blue ones are super rare, but like they're like a little more rare than the normal ones.
Orange is more rare than the blue too.
I've only gotten one orange. That's the only other color variant I've gotten.
Joshua Kimmich.
Kimmich.
Germany.
Yeah.
That one.
Exactly, no, Jill. You are 100% correct.
No shot.
It's going to be another U.S. player.
Yeah, Cristiano Roldan.
Like, this is why I don't have any. She's taking all the U.S. players and all of Kenneth Hall going to her apartment.
Amadou Onana?
Okay, yeah. Belgium? Yeah.
Belgium.
Okay.
Yes, Belgium, yes.
Okay.
And then I have I from South Africa as well.
Oh, some of those are really hard.
Yeah.
I can't but see it.
I know it's flipped. I'm sorry. It's like
no, that's okay. That's okay. But some of the South African ones are like there's a couple South African players that signed for Chicago this year, and that was like the hardest two names I've had all season in MLS because it's not like I've gotten now to the point that okay, if you're from Cote d'Ivoire, I can at least guess French to start. I know where to start. South African, it doesn't, because there's like a Dutch influence there, there's a German influence there, and then there's just combinations of letters that do not match the sounds that get made. So it's really difficult.
Well, and it's even like, it's funny, especially like calling games like now, like it's, and like even taking the time, like how much of like prep when we talk about prep is like literally pronunciations and making sure that everything is correct.
Because we take it seriously. And, and I think it's just being respectful to the players and their families and where they're from to try, you know,
we
can't get them 100% right because there's some that are just really hard for our accent, our background, whatever. And we have to try though.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They'll be here in when? Like a week and a half? 2 weeks?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Let me try to get a Lionel Messi card. Francisco Trincao from Portugal. Riyad Mahrez from Algeria. Fabian Balbuena from Paraguay in the blue. Gabriel Martinelli from Brazil. Nawaf Bouashal from Saudi Arabia. Jurian Gari from Curacao, and I think I've got a second one there. Ooh, that's one I like. Scott McTominay.
Hey. Scotland.
The tomato eating man from Scotland who was no, he said it. He never had tomatoes until he did, but he said they were like red water in England and in Scotland until he went to Italy and plays for Napoli and he's like the tomatoes are amazing. And he's turned into one of the best players in the world. It's all the power of tomatoes.
And it would also be nice if, you know, Scotland didn't cancel their match.
Yeah, I got mad about that. I called them out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you should, because you shouldn't do that.
Like, I thought it was Bush League.
Like, it's just like, A, you're not only messing with, I think, your preparation, you're messing with Norway. Like, now Norway can't. Yep. Schedule a game and you counted on that friendly game to be able to prep and do something else before you actually play an official World Cup match. Like that's not okay. That's
the way coach called him out for it too.
Yeah. I'm glad he did. I joined him in calling him out last night on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
And I like Scotland.
I like Scotland too. I just don't like why, like what was the reasoning? Was it just like,
They've had injuries, and I'm like, well, a lot of teams have had injuries. Like, that's not a good enough excuse. Yeah. You have 26 players for a reason.
Like, you have a couple of guys. Yeah, like, seriously. Like, that's dumb. That made me mad.
Maybe they need more tomatoes, I guess.
Yeah, they do. They need more people who play in Italy and eat tomatoes.
All right. My cards keep getting stuck. Does that happen to you guys, too?
Oh, no.
Yeah, some of them are a little tricky.
So I got the Japan logo.
Cool.
I got the
one
Egypt
of my dark
logo.
Okay.
Hey.
I think Egypt might struggle. I like the Japan one.
I got Ghana Kudus.
Mohamed Kudus, yes.
I got the Belgium team photo.
Okay.
Let's go.
I think, did Kudus actually not get picked? Or did he have an injury? Is he one of the guys that is not? Yeah, he's out. So he's been one of the guys that's in the sticker packs, but did not make the final roster.
Due to injury or just...
Due to injury, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I got Hamdi from Egypt.
Yep.
Nice.
Brennett from Curacao.
Okay.
Nice.
Curacao goes Dutch, so those can be tricky.
And Tillemans? From Belgium?
I gotta see it. I'm not sure. Belgium's another one that can throw me because it gets into like this weird in between French and German.
Maybe it's Tillemans.
Tillemans. Yuri Tillemans. Yeah, Yuri Tillemans.
There we go.
I just
still no US players. Good grief.
My thing, like I'm actually curious, like, when, like, they officially, like, say, all right, this is who we're sticking with. This is who we think is going to be in it. And then, like, when it doesn't happen, you're like, ooh.
I think they did it, from what I read this time, they waited till the playoffs, obviously, in March. And then they probably had a pretty good pick of what they were going to do with everybody, but they would have had a last chance to make switches at that point. I know Columbia, they got 100% correct with the roster, because the Colombian media was like, this is amazing. Panini got every sticker right. Because that's how widespread this stuff is. Like, there was literally an article in El Colombiano, one of the outlets that I read on Colombian news, about Panini was 100% correct with our roster. And I was like, okay, cool.
That's cool, though.
It's cool. Yeah. Like the EA Sports.
It's in the game.
I just feel like it's just like, especially like when you, like, when we talk about the US.
Well, Rope said the sticker pages only have 20 spots. So they did not do. Okay. So they didn't do. They did 20 for each team. You get a 26-man roster. So, yeah, there's not too many that they've missed. I know Luna. I know Kudus. Obviously, some really late injuries are going to throw that, and that's fine. But, like, you're probably going to be pretty close on the 20 that you do.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to look, and I was curious about this, because, like, with, like, I'm thinking more of, like, you know, obviously with, like, the U.S. Like, it's, mm-hmm. like, you know, we obviously saw that Tessman's in there, and then we obviously saw, obviously, Diego Luna's in there. So, like, okay, you have, obviously, the USA emblem. Matt Freeze is listed, Roldan's listed, Wea, Richards, Ream, McKenzie, Freeman, Luna, Tillman, Pulisic, Aaronson, Brendan Aaronson, Anthony Robinson, Tyler Adams, Tanner Tessman, Weston McKinney, Ricardo Pepi, Haji Wright, and Balogun. So, like,
I was wondering if they did Gio Reyna.
Yeah, because, I mean, because my thing is, I'm like, obviously, you don't have Matt Turner there. Obviously, Chris Brady, you don't have that there. Like, I'm trying to think of trustees not there.
They probably only did one goalkeeper with most teams.
Yeah, I think they did. It's only one keeper for
that, like, makes sense,
I think.
So, okay, if you do one, then yeah, I would have picked Freeze.
But it's one where I'm like, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, listen, when we talk, I hate to go back to the conversation about Diego Luna not being in it, but, like, it's one for me where I'm like, he's in so much, I think, of, like, the marketing and everything, that it's, like, almost like everybody was like, oh yeah, he's gonna be in it. Like, that, like,
Cole Palmer got the same thing, though, in England. I mean, and he's in the sticker album, and he was in a lot of the English Nike ads. And I think he's in Madonna's new video I saw.
I didn't see that.
Cole Palmer and somebody else were Joao Pedro, because she's a Chelsea fan. I think her son plays in the Chelsea Academy, if I'm not mistaken.
That's insane.
Yeah, Cole Palmer and Joao Pedro cameo in Madonna's music video.
That's some boring. Right,
all the crazy things, all the crossovers.
I realized that I didn't open a sticker back, because I got on a tangent. I apologize.
Oh yeah, it's your turn.
Lucas Paqueta, Brazil.
Paquita.
All right.
Paquita.
Love it. I don't have a lot of Brazil players, actually. This is cool. I don't have any Brazil players. That's cool.
Yeah, that's actually Ropes. That's a good question. Is Thiago Almada in the Argentina?
Let me look.
I don't know. Maybe I can't get a Thiago Almada sticker. I'll be sad. I have a Thiago Almada jersey coming, though.
Do you?
That's awesome.
That was the one I broke down. I went ahead and did the authentic and got a Thiago jersey.
That's a good choice.
Once the roster came out and the numbers came out, I was like, yep, that's the one I'll get.
There is no Thiago Almada.
Sad.
Sad. There's not one. There's not one, unfortunately. Yeah. I will say, the one that I did forget to mention, I did get Alvarez, and I was really happy about that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I got Alvarez, which I was very happy about.
All right, finish your pack.
The Egypt emblem.
Yep.
I got that one.
Had a couple of those tonight.
Algeria Atal.
Okay.
Got him. We have the Korean Republic team sticker. Nice. We have Tunisia, Elias Saad.
Okay.
Saad. Yep. I think it's S A A. Yeah, Saad. Okay.
Yeah, Saad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ali from Qatar. And then we got, I will not be able to say this one, another Algeria. Again, it's flipped. I keep showing it like.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't read that.
You can see it. I'm sorry. I just want y'all to see it. I'm
it's
like,
okay.
It's okay.
I feel like Sophia's good. I feel like I'm doing like an unboxing like for YouTube where I'm like, guys, look at what I got. Like,
that's what guys, this turns into.
Yeah. Like, it's like I'm doing stuff like that. That's so weird.
Guys, so I'm trying to figure out like some of these, the variations. So like I mentioned the crumple. Yeah. Like there's a Cristiano Ronaldo red crumple that if you get that, it's worth like $2,500.
And you know what? I might sell it.
No, I would absolutely sell it. Yeah, that's not even close. The Lamine Yamal red crumple is in perfect condition, like $2,400.
So like crumple, is that like the, like what is that?
Crumple ones, let me see if I can pull up an example of it and show you. Because like, yeah, I haven't seen any. I mean, obviously, I haven't seen any like this, or I'd be selling them and making money. But let me see if this will pull in. Hold on. Okay, so the crumple ones. Nope, not there. Like that.
Oh.
So that it's got like the that in the background.
I see.
Yeah, and that's the red outline.
Okay, okay.
So those, the crumple ones are the most expensive of the, like the most rare.
I get you.
There's like a Lionel Messi that's a purple outline that's worth $400.
Yeah, I'm selling that.
Yeah.
If I get it, I'm selling it.
Yeah. I mean, if you get the weird variations, like then you get into like a Lionel Messi with the blue outline, which the blues are pretty common. Like I have a lot of blue.
I have a lot of blues too.
The Lionel Messi blue, according to this is, what am I looking at? Sports Cards Pro, just one of the like valuation places for sports cards. The Messi blue is worth $76.
That ain't too bad, actually. Mm-hmm.
The Ronaldo blue is worth $360.
Whoa, so,
that's random.
I have
The valuations are crazy all over the place.
Yeah. I just have the white outline of Messi. So,
only.
Shut up.
I'm just kidding. sitting here like opening packs to see if like get a US player.
Look, it's the Cape. Album.
Oh, you got the Cape Verde one? Cool.
The blue shorts.
All right. I'll do one more before we wrap it up. And yes, the marketing folks were undone by the coach's non-choices. This is correct, Jill.
They were. It's rough.
There's a few that definitely were. Let's see what we get. Philip Mwene from Austria. Jamal Musiala from Germany. That's a good one.
John McGinn. Back? Is he called up?
He is. Yeah, he's back after the horrible injury that you saw.
Yes.
Sophia, I got a Christian Roldan as well. Sorry.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, no.
Joseph Paintsill, LA Galaxy, Ghana, representing. Alan Minda from Ecuador. And Sifo Mbule from South Africa, plays for the Orlando Pirates.
We also got to remember, guys, on the Coke bottles, they do it. Because I got one in Chicago. I was at the Cubs game. And I was, and my best friend, I'm shouting her on this thing.
Yes.
Hi, Maddie. Her name is also Maddie. I'm not actually saying myself in the third person, I promise. I mean, she's a Madeline.
You would, but, you know, I'm just saying.
I would, but it actually, she had one. And I said, wait, before I was like, give me your wrapping. And I did. And I got Weston McKennie.
Very nice.
So I got that one. But I stopped her. And then apparently I watched another guy do it on like a one that was thrown out, like a trash one. And he's like, wait, and he like took it and did it. And I was like, I should have done that.
I was very fortunately gifted a Lamine Yamal Coke sticker by loyal listener Badgermon. Yes.
rude.
You weren't rude. At NoFo Bruco this weekend. I was.
I was in Chicago.
That's fine. I was at NoFo.
Chicago.
I could actually break out our Soccer Down Here lager as well and throw that in your face, but you know.
Don't do that.
And you know what?
Don't do that. I need to go. I'm like, I might convince my parent. Oh!
Hey!
Hey! I got Weya.
Nice. Finally.
I have probably opened 60 something packs, and this is my first DPS player. I have this big bag of cards.
Oh, no.
By the way, and then all the ones I've opened today, this is my first US player.
Good grief.
Oh, no, wow. I it's one where like I yeah, I should have yeah. It was one where I'm like, I'm going to be like scouting. I might even ask my parents to like go, cuz they live obviously in Swanee.
Yeah, go run and get some cuz it is a kind of limited release and the cans came out awesome.
Oh, I plan on going at some point in like the next week or two. I want to try to get up to NoFo. Are we doing any shows?
We do not have any more planned right now because we're going to be everywhere else forever through the final. We will probably try to carve out some time to get back up there again soon. But yes, it is.
I gotta try to go home to like see my dad and watch a couple games with them. So like that might be on my pit stop. Like I go pick up like two or three cases of it, take it home. That way he can have some, I can have one. Cause I will not be drinking one of them to like display. Cause that's cool.
Yeah.
Cause that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I will be doing that.
Awesome.
But yeah.
They came out great. That'll basically do it for us for the night. One, go buy your stickers because we're going to buy them all if you don't, basically, is what we've learned tonight. Two, we are going to be in all kinds of different places over the next few days with shows and such. Tomorrow, I will be at Local Vine at Cumberland. I'll be doing a show on Soccer Down Here at 7 o'clock. From there, these two will be at the Uzbekistan Open Training Session in Marriott at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Training Ground. So be following Soccer Down Here on social media for all the updates. Yes?
Yes.
You will be updating?
Yes.
Then we'll be back here tomorrow night at 10 o'clock talking all the night before stuff with the World Cup. Then Thursday and Friday, where are you, Madison?
I will be at the Mill at Etowah. I will be there Thursday and Friday doing stuff with not only the city of Canton, but with Georgia Impact and all of the vendors there. We're going to have an SDH show as well with myself and John Nelson. Believe Thursday, unconfirmed about Friday, but we will have an SDH show both days, about an hour. On Thursday, it'll be from 5:15 to 6:15. The one on Friday will actually lead right into AST right before for pregame for the U.S. Men's National Team from 5 to 6. So tune into SDH, then you can hop on over to 92.9 to chat with Jason and everything about the U.S. game. But yeah, going to be talking everything from World Cup and then Georgia Impact as well. So get the local side and everything too.
Thursday, Sophia and I will start the World Cup at the Brew House, the OG Brew House. Brew House Soto will be open by all I have heard before the Spain match on Monday, but is a race against time for all of the places down there. I know El Tesoro South Downtown is opening tomorrow. So they are starting to get certificates of occupancy, all the permitting, liquor licenses, all the food permitting, all that stuff is
the fun stuff.
The fun stuff that has taken forever, but they are getting very, very close. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff in the Brew House South Downtown. Some cool stuff that some of you will recognize. It's going to be very, very cool. We'll be doing a lot of stuff from there. We're going to do a Panini sticker swap from Brew House Soto at some point during the tournament in the next couple weeks. But we'll be there on Thursday, Brewhouse OG in Little Five Points for Mexico and South Africa. Then we'll have a show here where I think everybody will probably be chiming in different ways on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Then Friday, I am going to do a taping with Channel 46 in the afternoon. Then I'm going to Mazzy's in Duluth for Atlanta Soccer Tonight from 6 to 8. And then I think for the match itself, I'm going to be at Atlanta Eagles just off of Buford Highway, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we might have a YouTube post-game show for the U.S. We might have just a podcast edition a lot of it's going to depend on how sane we are by the time we get to Friday night at about midnight. So we make no guarantees.
Yet we also have Atlanta United 2 on Saturday.
There's Atlanta United 2 on Saturday that Madison and John will be at in Athens. I will be here, and we will be actually very early on the AST side on Saturday. We will be 5 to 7:40 on Saturday, a 2-hour and 40-minute edition. I'll be guesting in the 4 o'clock hour with Mitch Evans as well during his show, and in 2 hours and 40 minutes of World Cup talk. A lot of U.S. men's national team for you there, so... And then Sunday, I think it's 9 to 11. So, like, yeah, it's a lot. And just buckle up, because once these games actually start, all the chaos will ramp up. So thank you to everybody for watching, for sharing, for talking it up. You guys have been awesome. We've all been running into people and talking about it. And it's been really cool to run into listeners and talk about some of the crazy things that we've talked about on this show and in these stoppage times, like the stickers, where people are actually giving us stickers. Thank you. I still need a Lionel Messi. One day. Maybe. We'll find out. All right. Y'all have a good rest of the night. Adios, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Good night.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.